Hope everybody's having a good day. It's your host, Coach John Willis. We got a couple of topics we're going to talk about today. As mentioned before, we're trying to be better about podcasting this year, get something out to the people at least once a week. So we have been inspired by our current events of the week. First off, we want to give a shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs on winning the Super Bowl. Also, shout out to the San Francisco 49ers on having a great season. Just coming up a bit short there. So we're going to talk about football, NFL football rather, and we're going to talk about Gayle King. So those are our two topics, and then we'll have an inspirational moment, and then we'll be done. So without any further ado, NFL. So this is the first time that we've had a offensive rookie of the year, a Super Bowl MVP, and a regular season MVP all be black quarterbacks. As you all know, there is just this stigma and this bad label that gets put on black quarterbacks coming out of college traditionally. So guys like Mel Kiper and, you know, all these draft experts who just, you know, bump their gums essentially. They talk about, you know, just the words that's used with black quarterbacks. They'll say, like, they can't think the game, or they react well. They don't say anything about being able to read defenses. So anyway, so my whole question is, you know, Russell Wilson, pre Lamar Jackson, pre Pat Mahomes, Kyler Murray, you know, the NFL is dominated by white quarterbacks, you know, and I'm talking guys like Aaron Rodgers, you know, even Brett Favre, you know, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, the list goes on and on. And they are good quarterbacks. I think they can play the game. You know, I don't think any of those guys who've been, you know, all-time legendary type guys, I don't think that they are lacking and cannot play the game. That's not my point. But my point is, I wonder how many other Russell Wilsons or how many other Lamar Jacksons specifically, how many other Lamar Jacksons there are out there. You know, how many other guys who were black quarterbacks who had a lot of success in college, obviously had success in high school because they got to college, and then were changed to play like wide receiver when they got into the NFL, not even given a chance to play quarterback. You know, I think the beautiful thing about what the Baltimore Ravens have done, I think they hired they hired the offensive coordinator from San Francisco, who was the San Francisco coordinator with Colin Kaepernick, who's another black quarterback. And, you know, I think that was very smart on their part. And they adapted the system to fit the quarterback that they drafted. So I wonder how many other guys have played quarterback in college, been successful in college playing quarterback, and then be forced to ask to run some other system in the NFL. And that's not just black guys. I mean, that's anybody. You know, black guys, white guys, blue guys, green guys, you know, just in general. You know, I think that I wonder how many quarterbacks have been snubbed, essentially, you know, of playing, you know, their position because, you know, said franchise would not run a system to fit them. They wouldn't coach to their personnel. Imagine that being an issue in a pro sport. Anyway, so I just wonder, you know, if that impacts the legacy of somebody like Tom Brady. You know, he's won a lot, you know, up there in New England, but I wonder how much he would have won had, you know, somebody like Seneca Wallace or, you know, even Tommy Frazier, like going back to Nebraska days. I mean, there are just so many quarterbacks that come down the line. you know, and just wondering if they had been allowed or afforded an opportunity to play in a system that fits their skill set instead of trying to take their skill set and make it fit a particular system, which may not have been their strength. So anyway, that's that. Next topic on the show, Gayle King. Gayle King recently was in the news for an interview with Lisa Leslie, WNBA legend. Actually, the first woman that I ever saw dunk a basketball. Shout out to National Girls Women in Sports Day. You know, you guys rock. Yeah, so Gayle King does this interview with Lisa Leslie, and she asked her about Kobe Bryant and the 2003 Eagle, Colorado rape case allegation. And, you know, and Lisa Leslie responded. She was saying, I never, you know, got that forceful vibe, you know, from Kobe. And Gayle was like, well, you wouldn't see it. You know, you wouldn't see it. He's your friend. You know, in other words, like, you wouldn't recognize it. You know, and I just think that I feel there's so much about this. So I'm just going to go ahead and just share my thoughts. You know, for number one, Gayle King did post a video the next day saying how, you know, the video was posted out of context. First of all, I think that is a big pile of horse crap, because there's nothing to be taken out of context. Like, Lisa Leslie said she's never seen a forceful side of Kobe Bryant, and that, you know, she thinks that the family should be respected and have a chance to, you know, mourn their loss. I mean, truthfully, Kobe Bryant's not even buried yet, and here she is trying to throw dirt on him. And it's like, that happened in 2003. So Gayle King, if you wanted to really ask Kobe Bryant, then you had 17 years to ask Kobe Bryant. You know, I think that's pretty cowardly and tasteless for her to even be asking that. I know that I've done hundreds of things to offend people, not on purpose, but I know I have. And I really hope that you don't wait till I die to ask my wife what I meant by that. I'd rather you just ask me, at least ask me while I'm around to defend myself. You know, it's so selective as a society. We're so selective on, you know, the court of public opinion, you know, for whatever the reason. You know, Kobe Bryant was acquitted. These charges were dismissed because this witness would not agree to testify. And, you know, that's not really Kobe's fault, but it happened, you know, just like Donald Trump was acquitted. So I'm sure there won't be an interview by Gayle King asking Donald Trump how he cheated to win the election. You know, well, it'll be a simple response. Well, I was acquitted. Right. So it's like sometimes the court of law works and then sometimes it doesn't, you know, and I'm not above this. You know, as I can go on record, I feel like George Zimmerman murdered Trayvon Martin, you know, so that's a personal thing for me. But anyway, so Gayle King, back to the subject at hand. Yeah, so I think that that's wrong for her to even be asking that. Number one, because Kobe's not around to defend himself. Number two, I think the family should be able to grieve. Number three, he went through the court of law and, you know, he wasn't found, you know, he wasn't convicted of a crime. So that's just kind of that, you know, it's not a, you know, it's a he say, she say. And I would challenge you to go back and read the case notes. You can look at what was found in the rape kit. You know, honestly, I don't believe Kobe Bryant raped her. But that's just my personal opinion. So, but anyway. And ultimately, whoever is the gatekeeper at CBS, whoever controls the things, you know, that's really tough, man. Because it seems as though they have this narrative where any minority who gains too much societal power is like they were immortalizing Kobe Bryant, man. And, you know, he's just the latest one. And it's like, well, we're going to hire Gayle King to conduct this interview. You know, same thing with R. Kelly, you know, and I'm not excusing any of R. Kelly's actions. You know, I don't really think R. Kelly and Kobe Bryant are in the same book as far as allegations go. But I do think that they have both been impactful to our culture. I think R. Kelly and his music, I think Kobe Bryant and his basketball and his philanthropy stuff. So, you know, they are in their own rights icons. You know, so I just think that there is a narrative to tear down and to diminish, and it really is troubling that Gayle King keeps falling for that bait and falling for that trap. And ultimately, as the gatekeeper at CNN or CBS, I'm sorry, at CBS, it is like, okay, well, I'm gonna hire you to go ask them this question, and you're not even gonna ask the actual person, but I'm gonna just hire you to go ask this question so that we can, you know, tear down this person's character, and them, you know, minorities and black people gonna be mad at you, and then it's like you guys all gonna be fighting at each other, and it's like the target is hit, and you know, people are in an uproar, and black people mad at each other. And the person whose idea this was, the guy who's the gatekeeper there at CBS, he's just sitting back. He didn't even have to get his hands dirty the whole time. So, and then on the other side of this, I don't agree with Gayle King's questioning. You know, I don't, especially when she's not interviewing like Harvey Weinstein and like Matt Lauer, you know, and those type of guys who it looks like she's friends with, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, her and Oprah have this crusade, man, and I just don't understand it. You know, so there's not, like, transparency there. There's not, like, okay, you're just going to anybody who gets accused of this kind of stuff. You're not. You're just going to the black guys. So I don't agree with that. I think that's wrong. But also, I don't think that we should have death threats towards Gayle King. I don't think we should be calling her out of name and like cursing at her and stuff like that. I don't think you should be doing that because I don't think that that's right. Even though I may not agree with a person's actions, I still will respect the person. So I'm not going to call her out of name or anything like that. I don't think anybody should be doing that or making death threats to her. I don't agree with that personally. All right. So that is that. And as we finish up today, we're going to talk and have our inspirational moment when we come back in a few moments. In our inspirational moment, we're going to talk about, I just want to share a thought with you, talking about home building. You know, there are people who like to buy a home that is move-in ready, meaning it's already built, it's already, you know, it already painted, you know, everything is already in place, and you just gotta essentially move in your clothes, and it's ready-made for you. And then there are other people who like to build, and here's the difference. See, building a home requires some hard work and some patience because you got to lay the foundation if you're going to build a home. And oftentimes, you cannot just put brick on the top of the sand. If the sand is too soft or if it doesn't drain well, then you have to dig. And you got to dig till you get down to rock, till you get down to something solid. And then you start putting bricks up. That's how basements were started. Ultimately, it doesn't matter how nice of a door or how nice of windows you put in the house. If the foundation is corrupt, then it's only a matter of time till the house starts to have problems. as soon as a storm is going to come. A storm is going to come. At some point, that house is going to be tested. Whether it's wind, whether it's rain, whether it's, you know, whatever kind of elements, at some point, that house is going to be tested. And if that foundation is not strong, then that house will have problems and fall, and you'll have all kind of issues and all kind of things you'll be trying to replace, all because the foundation was not proper. Now, here's the problem with something that's move-in ready. When you're talking about buying a house that's move-in ready, you have to take somebody's word. It's different than building yourself, because if you build yourself, then I know what it's made of. I know what it's made of if I build myself. But if I move into something that's move-in ready, I got to take somebody else's word, and they may not be as attentive to detail as you are. They may not have crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. They may have cut corners and used some other parts that you wouldn't normally use. And that's where the difference lies. That's the difference in it as we talk about this. So I want to encourage you to take this and apply this to your life, because you have goals. You have things that you want to accomplish. I know you have goals. I know you have things you want to accomplish because you're listening to this podcast. So here's the point. Don't go after a ready-made career or a ready-made job. Don't do that. Because if you do, then you won't appreciate it. But if you build, if you take the time to build, then see, you will value it more. And I don't know who you worship, who you pray to. You know, I practice Christianity. And I just want to remind you of something that even in your personal life, see, the building is the digging. You understand? Well, we have to read the text. We talk about blessing the hearers and the doers. The doing of the text is the digging. Because just like there are some bad soil, some soft layers of soil, some soil that's not suited to hold the foundation, we have to dig through that and get rid of that. It's the same thing in our personal life. In other words, if we're going to get to that solid foundation so that we can accomplish whatever goal it is that we have set and get to that place where we need to be our best selves, there's some digging that must go on. And when you dig, you get through some stuff. That means you might have to get through some self-doubt. You might have to get through some selfishness. You might have to get through some worry. You might have to get through some stuff in order to grow and get yourself to the point where you need to be. When we dig for houses, sometimes they use shovels. Sometimes they use bulldozers, excavators, those kind of things. But when you're digging in your personal life, you know it's the shovel. The shovel is people. It's people. It's your experience and your interaction with other folks that shows you what it is that you need to get rid of and what you need to dig through. How about that? Everybody you encounter and everybody that you interact with, you ought to be learning something from every relationship. You ought to be learning something from your friends. You ought to be learning something. You ought to be learning something. Something that makes your life better. Something that puts you at a better position. Puts you at a better place. So I want to encourage you to not be afraid to build. Get to that solid foundation. I hope everybody has a good day. I thank you for listening. Please feel free to subscribe to us by texting CJW to 31996. That'll put you on our subscription list. Also, you can find us at CoachJohnWillis.com or the thejuiceuniversity.com, at Mo Minutes Instagram, or at Coach underscore J underscore Willis Twitter, at Coach John Willis Instagram as well. So thank you for your time. Grace and peace. I love you, Kai and Preston. Go.